Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
Well, my name is John Noltner. I come from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and this is my fourth time at Holden Village. I work as a photographer. I shoot for national magazines and Fortune 500 companies. But something happened back in 2009. The first is that I was frustrated with the quality of our national dialogue. I was concerned about all the things that ask us to look at what separate us, and I wondered if I could use my photography and storytelling instead to look at what connects us. So over the years, I have driven 40,000 miles across the country talking to people from all different backgrounds, basically building conversations around the question, what does peace mean to you, in hopes of rediscovering the common humanity that connects us, in hopes of looking at what we share together more than focusing on our differences. And so at Holden, these last 2 weeks, we've had one of my exhibits of stories and portraits, and we've been doing some programming around these ideas of story. And the hopes of these stories is not that they'll give people the secret answer to the meaning of peace, but the hope is that it will encourage people to recognize that we all have the power to create positive change, that we can all find ways to reduce conflict, to build connections and find ways to live better together. So as I've done these interviews, I've talked to people from all different backgrounds and all different faith traditions. And this week in particular, we're talking about interfaith dialogue. And, you know, it's funny, as I talk about interfaith dialogue and I use some of the examples in the project, nobody gets too tussled about talking about Christian and Buddhist exchanges. Given the politics of the day, there can be some tension arising around Christian and Muslim conversations, and those can be difficult places to navigate sometimes. But what I've found is if the world is talking about Muslims, that it's also particularly useful to talk with Muslims. And so I'll be intentional about finding people who can help personify some of the issues of the day. And what I'd like to do is share just one of the stories from the series. And this is a woman I met named Maham Khan, who was a freshman at Harper College in Palatine, Illinois, back in 2001. And at the time, her Muslim faith was very private to her. She didn't speak much about it publicly. And as a new student, she recognized the need to gain some leadership experience and sort of round out her academic resume. So she decided to join the Muslim Student Association, which had been sort of dormant for years. And she went to the first meeting, and somehow she got elected as the president of the organization. So she was a little bit outside of her comfort zone, but she thought, you know what, I can do this. How hard can it be? We'll study Quranic verses on Tuesday. We'll eat pizza on Thursdays. What could possibly go wrong? Well, this was 2001, and a couple weeks later, September 11th happened, and Maham found herself way outside of her comfort zone. All of a sudden, she's the head of this organization that was the focus of frustration and mistrust and misunderstanding on campus. And when we find ourselves that far out of our comfort zone, we usually do one of two things. We either run away or we face it head on. And that's what Maham did. She started organizing interfaith dialogue sessions on campus because she realized that when we just walk by each other and mumble things under our breath, well, that builds tension. But when we sit down and we talk face to face, that that reduces tension. And so I just want to share with you an excerpt from her interview. Maham says, the idea was to get people comfortable with interfaith dialogue and interfaith cooperation. You know, they wanted to understand, so they said, we'd like a Muslim to come in and speak. And of course, that comes with great pressure because then you're just one person speaking for a multi-million member faith-based group. But I've been to places and we've had beautiful talks. At the end of one session, there was a Q&A and a gentleman got up and said, well, you're very charming. You're charismatic. You're a lovely young lady. But what about all these other Muslims in the Middle East? Can you deny that's the true faith face of Islam? And she said, well, why can't this charming, beautiful face be the true face of Islam? You know, why do we have to say that it's one or the other? The reality of faith and of existence in general is that it's undefinable. I meet people who may have never talked to a Muslim before, or a person who's never had an honest conversation about what makes them comfortable or uncomfortable about different religions. I try to make myself available as a source of information, or at least as a first point of contact. It's hard to believe that there are people who are that sheltered, who've never sat down and had a conversation with a Muslim about what we believe. In part, that's a problem of our institutions because we're taught that you don't talk about religion in the workplace. You don't ask someone about their culture or identity or where they come from. In turn, that limits our ability to have honest conversations with people or to become aware of another style or ritual. We fear the things that we don't know, and the only way to understand is to get exposed, but we aren't allowed to do that because of political correctness. We have this institutional problem, and I try to break that barrier. I say to hell with political correctness. If you're uncomfortable being on an airplane with me, let's talk about why. I bet we've got a lot more in common than you think. People are terrified of having honest, raw conversations about race and religion and gender issues because honesty reveals some unpleasant things about ourselves. We might not want to confront what we discover. There's an image that describes heaven and hell. In the image of hell, there's a big pot of stew and these really large spoons. There's people all around the stew and they all want to eat. They're trying to feed themselves, but because the spoons are so big, they can't maneuver them around to get the food in their mouths. It's logistically impossible. In hell, they keep trying to feed themselves again and again, and they're unsuccessful. Then you go into heaven and it's the exact same scenario. There's the stew and these really large spoons, except in heaven, the people figure out that they can feed the person across from them because those spoons work really well that way. They feed one another. And there can be all these resources in the world, but if we don't find a way to cooperate, if we don't submit to the fact that the person across from you might be hungry too, and that you must serve one another, well, then everyone will be left hungry. So in my mind, we can find peace together or we can all be left desiring. Yeah, I think we build these false barriers that don't need to exist. And I think that people are longing to connect on deep and personal levels. And the world doesn't always give us the opportunities to do that. And so I think we have to seek them out. I think we have to create those spaces where we can do that. And that comes with vulnerability. It needs to come with patience, and we don't always do it. We often dive into those difficult conversations, you know, headlong, a little aggressively. Mm-hmm. And I've found through these conversations that we can really, I mean, it's possible to talk about anything. It's possible to really breach these difficult subjects and these sensitive issues. If we do it with grace and hope and the belief that something better is possible, you know, if we don't enter them in a state of warfare, but if we enter them in sort of a state of curiosity and willingness to learn and desire to understand, well, then you can talk about almost anything.
Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.